As we continue in this season of Easter, we are presented with one of the richest, most charming stories of the New Testament. At the urging of the Holy Spirit, Philip the deacon, travels south where he sees a chariot on the side of a road. Inside is an Ethiopian eunuch, a high court official. This person is liminality embodied. He's middle space. He's in betweenness. He's powerful, yet he's powerless. He's reading Isaiah. He's a literate person, well-educated, but he is excluded from full temple worship. He's male, yet he is considered degendered, which gave him access to the queen. He's an ideal first candidate from the nations for baptism. He's even inspired to say, "Look, here's water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" Now, when you go home, or if you have your Bible, you can look in it, and you'll find chances are that verse 37 will be missing from your Bible. Verse 37. Now, that verse reads, "And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, 'I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" Now that's fine. That's all in line. That's good theology. However, it's not original to the text. There was a scribe that was so bothered by this open rhetorical question that nothing could prevent him from being baptized, that he had to put a statement of belief in there, just to make sure everything was okay. Does he really believe? Is this just a spur-of-the-moment thing, or is it going to be lifelong? Without an explicit mention that he really believes, well, anyone could get baptized. It could be total chaos. Now, this scribe had the best of intentions. Just wanted to be sure people didn't take it the wrong way. But sometimes our good intentions lead to misunderstanding. They can be opposed to God's grace. A lovely text about the gospel breaking down barriers of gender, class, race, sexuality, and power can be sidetracked. Yeah, but did he believe correctly? But that's not the only misunderstanding that can happen with the Bible. The Bible has to be the most misunderstood book ever, or collection of books, more accurately. I'm often amazed at how people can turn a statement of grace into a statement of condemnation, often against themselves, but also other people. For example, so many people I know have taken Jesus' statement, "Your faith has made you well," which he says to a woman who dares to touch Jesus. She has been suffering from a bleeding ailment for 18 years. So many people take that statement, "Your faith has made you well," into an explanation for why they or a loved one hasn't gotten well. They think they haven't believed hard enough. Others take Paul's words. You might have heard this one or echoed this one. "God won't let you, the community, be tested beyond your strength," into an individualistic, "God won't give me more than I can handle." Ever hear that one? I have heard that. I'm not going to say what I really want to say about that text, but misinterpretation is the polite way of that scripture as a cudgel to beat themselves over the head for being sad or upset or in a bad situation. Or sometimes they use that to justify remaining in an abusive situation, which is even worse. Some hear passages on sexuality as total condemnation of gay, queer, or trans people. And the list goes on and on and on. It goes on. But today we're going to focus on a couple in our gospel reading. Jesus speaks to his disciples today, using an allegory of grapevine and branches. And when Jesus says, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit is cut off, we often hear this as, be a good little branch, or else produce for the kingdom, or else. But Jesus isn't threatening anyone here. It wouldn't make any sense for him to threaten anyone here. He's giving a statement of fact. He's speaking, remember, to a group of stunned, grieving people. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he's telling them that he is going away. He's just told them that, and that they can't follow him. He will send them the Holy Spirit, but to do so requires that he goes away. They don't need threats. They need instruction. They need hope. They need rootedness to continue to be a community centered around Christ and in Christ after his embodied presence, the literal embodied presence of Christ, is taken away from them. They need to be able to live afterwards. So that's what this is. The instruction is this. The hope is this. The rootedness is this. Remain in Jesus. Abide in Jesus. Stay in Jesus. If you take nothing away from this sermon, take this away. Remain in Jesus. As people connected to Jesus, we produce good fruit. Not just individually, but as a community of faith. From him, from Jesus, comes our whole sustenance, our whole being. From him comes the church, and particularly today, this community of saints here at Shalom. This isn't a summons for us to do something first. This isn't a do this or else. This isn't a command to fix what's wrong in our lives or to be super amazing Christians. It's simply a call to abide as a community of Jesus in his Shalom. Particularly when our lives are not shalom. To wait in him, to be fed by him, and then to bear fruit. It's what a branch does. A branch in the vine bears fruit. We, connected to Jesus, also bear fruit. There's one other big misunderstanding. It happens in verse 7. This verse can be scary on the face of it. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I'm already seeing the grimaces out there. All of us have the experience of prayers that are unanswered or seem unanswered or that even seem unacknowledged. C.S. Lewis had this experience after his wife died. His experience of prayer, it felt like there was a door slammed in his face and that it was locked on the other side. He had never had that sense before. All of us go through those times where we feel like our prayers aren't being answered or even listened to. So what is Jesus talking about here? Often, people think one of two things. Either I don't abide correctly in Jesus, it's all my fault, or that God isn't listening. Both are incorrect. Both miss the point of what it means to pray in good times and in bad, in times of shalom and non-shalom, in times of happiness and in times of desperation. In prayer, we bring our whole selves to God. Prayer, we all know, it's not a magic formula where I receive or we receive whatever our hearts desire. What happens in prayer, we bring our whole selves to God and we align ourselves with God's will, whatever that may be. God's will for us is shalom, but we don't always know the path it's going to take to get there. That is abiding in Jesus when we come before God and say, "Thy will be done." We pray as he prayed. We seek to glorify God in our prayer just as Jesus did. Jesus didn't say, "Save me from this hour," but he said, "This is the reason I have come to this hour." We pray that God's kingdom would come, his will would be done, that we would have enough for the day, that forgiveness would abound. Prayer is about being united to the vine, who is Jesus. And also, it has no particular time frame. Prayers that seem to be unanswered might not be yet, at least according to our sense of time, but may be answered later or in the world to come. Often, when we pray over someone, whenever I have someone come to me for healing, and I pray over them, and I anoint them with oil, that is a sign that God desires and wills healing for that person. It may be done partially in this life, but it will certainly be done fully in the world to come. That can be really frustrating, especially when we are suffering. But whether we come before God in praise, frustration, joy, anger, sadness, desperation, anxiety, or rage, we are abiding in Jesus when we bring our whole selves before God, who is our Father, just as God is Jesus' Father. So let's not be distracted by misunderstandings. Rather, whatever happens, we have the privilege of remaining in Jesus, united to him and to each other as a community of faith. We'll receive a tangible reminder of that in a few minutes when we receive his true body and blood here at this table. And when you do, know that he abides in you, whatever comes today and forever.